B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Thursday, January 24th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WWKB 1520 in Buffalo and ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, and 1200 AM in Syracuse, New York. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily with another esport looking at instituting picks and bans, we need to discuss why things work in some games but not others. That discussion is ahead in about 15 minutes here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
ESL is teaming up with Epic Games to bring Fortnite to the upcoming IEM Katowice next month. The first ever ESL Katowice Royale will be held featuring two separate tournaments. One will be the 100 best Polish players competing for a $100,000 prize pool, while the second will be the 100 best players from around the world chasing a $500,000 prize pool. There will also be free-to-play competitions for attendees throughout the event.
Okay, this is the reason why what the pros think about how they handle their esports don't matter, because they're putting enough money into it that they're going to show up and play no matter what.
Well, I think that an esports scene can only survive on so much enthusiasm before you have to nail down a structure so that your competitors know what to expect. We sat here, just a couple of weeks ago on this very show and talked about, the meta shifts too often for pros to get used to. There's no structure to this esports scene. Nothing stays the same from one competition to another. And if I had any, by the way, I don't have any talent at Fortnite.
Correct.
You don't need to remind me of that. But if I had any talent at Fortnite, I would be extremely frustrated by this.
But you'd still be playing for that money.
Yeah, of course. Because what else are you going to do?
Exactly.
The 9th season of League of Legends arrives today, and things are going to be a little different this competitive season. In addition to it being broken into 3 splits, there will be the introduction of Iron Tier below Bronze and Grandmaster in between Master and Challenger. In addition, the Division 5 ranking is being dropped altogether. The result should be an easier time climbing to Diamond, but a much more difficult time climbing to Challenger.
Again, quick question, why didn't they add Wood Tier? Because that seems...
I'm going to tell you exactly why, okay?
Why?
Wood Tier has been a joke in the community for a long time, and there's a YouTube series called Wood Tier Adventures, and I think they didn't want to give that more credibility.
Okay, yeah. That's fair, but I mean, it just seems like, you know, with that being the long-running joke, it would have been...
I wanted Wood Tier. I also want uninstall bracket, where after you lose, the game asks if you're sure you'd like to uninstall.
I like that, too. I like that a lot.
After strong performances by Liquid and Fnatic, we've got our Final 8 for the Chongqing Major in Dota 2. The Final 8 will start playing tomorrow and will feature Virtus Pro, Team Secret, eHome, PSG LGD, Vici Gaming, Evil Geniuses, and of course Fnatic and Team Liquid. Man, you know something? I don't care. I cannot bring my... With NALCS starting in 2 days' time... I cannot bring myself to sit and watch Dota right now.
How does anyone care about Dota until the international?
Well, I mean, it just seems like with both these leagues kind of running in tandem, you're right. Like, when you have League of Legends and how well that's presented in the fanfare around League, how is it that Dota is able to gain viewership around anything other than the international?
I was perfectly fine watching Dota when there was no League of Legends to watch. But now that my AMOBA is back,
yeah, right.
I can't do it.
And you know what? There's a lot of people who would agree with you. And, you know, they vote with their feet. So, yeah.
Rumors have been spreading about Fallout 76 going free-to-play early on in its life cycle, but Bethesda has now quashed them. They said, quote, "There is no truth to that rumor, and retailers have echoed that sentiment."
By the way, this...
Please yell at these people.
This rumor was started by a particularly stupid YouTuber whose name I'm not even going to bother mentioning, but this is the way... Like, honestly, between the dog pile and the concerted effort that it looks like people go to trash this game, there is no amount that Bethesda can do to be able to silence these critics.
Yeah.
And it's really unfortunate because Fallout 76 is a great game and probably, you know, the game that I've spent the most time with in recent memory. And if it, you know, if it continues the way that it has, probably the game that I will have spent the most time with in 2019 as well.
I was trying to research like where this rumor had come from, and the best that I could find was a couple of retailers had stopped selling like the standard edition of the game. They were only selling like collector's editions and stuff. And that's, I think, where that rumor started.
Yeah, the way that it was spun was that retailers were, quote, pulling Fallout 76 from shelves, which was not true. But again, this is a large game of telephone.
Right.
And when people are looking to beat up on something, they very quickly start spreading this kind of crap around. And it's really unfortunate because, you know, Fallout 76 is a great game. And yeah, it is not going to go free to play anytime soon.
With Dead or Alive 6 set for release on March 1st, the developers are setting their sights on carving out their own chunk of the FGC scene. One of the primary reasons for the two-week delay was to make sure the game released in a more stable form, as their hope is to break out into the scene of large-scale competitive play. All right, Norris, we were talking a little bit about this earlier. I don't think Dead or Alive has changed any in, like, three games.
No, it hasn't, and that's part of the problem, is that Dead or Alive 6 is still looked at as a very rudimentary fighting game.
I don't know that it has anything to do with the fighting mechanics. I think that it has to do with about the 5 years that the developers of this game spent plugging their jiggle physics.
Hey, they took the juggling out of this one.
No, that's out of it. I understand that.
But when that was the main marketing around your game for the better part of two life cycles of your game,
you lose some credibility.
Exactly.
No, you do. And I don't disagree with that, but I can tell you why. Players are not playing it to the volume of some of the other games is because, yeah, it's basically just rock, paper, scissors. It's boring.
Team Liquid has named Honda as their official automotive partner. The Honda logo will be featured on Liquid's new jerseys, and Liquid will have access to a fleet of branded Honda Civics. No word has released on how much the sponsorship has gone for. Wow.
Color me jealous.
Automotive sponsorships now?
Now, here's the most...
I would take a free Honda Civic. I'm not going to lie.
Here is the most important part. It's a Japanese company, a distinctly Japanese company, inserting themselves into a very, very new market. And Honda...
In a North American team as well.
And esports being so new to Japan as well, this is a very interesting move.
Yeah, and I think Honda is one of those types of companies to where, you know, they might be able to sustain whatever fallout the investment doesn't go well. But, I mean, I think this is part of where you begin to see Japan's money start getting involved in the esports.
Well, and Joe, to your comment about, you know, automobiles getting into the sponsorship, Kia also, I think, just recently joined with European League of Legends as their sponsor as well.
Nice.
PUBG's National League is set to kick off at the beginning of February, but the company will be hoping for better results than they saw with the preseason. The unveiling of the new arena and the new broadcaster tools with the preseason drew under 4,000 average viewers.
This is a little disheartening, I would say. Although,
here's the thing.
They didn't market this very well.
Did you even know what was going on?
No, I had zero idea, and that's part of my job.
At least I know February 1st, the league starts. I know to tune in that day.
Right, yeah. No, it's very confusing how that ended up happening and exactly how that went down. But I don't know. Like, if I were the PUBG League, would I be excited by this? Probably not. Like, I think
no,
I
it's
would
not
be,
good news.
No, I would be fairly disappointed by this. But you're right. They didn't market this at all.
The Washington Justice have named Events DC as their official sponsor of 2019. The deal comes as the Justice are looking to foster a strong relationship between the team and the city they'll be calling home starting next year.
And you know, a couple of years ago, we had reported about Washington, DC looking to make themselves a destination for esports.
Yes.
So this makes a whole lot of sense. And it's nice to see them actually making some meaningful moves in the space. And when it comes time for home and away games to be played, I really do believe that DC will have a good infrastructure for this team to be able to draw on.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. There's major game release coming up in the next few days that almost everyone on the internet is talking about. That's right, Kingdom Hearts 3.
No!
Resident Evil 2! Joe, Norris, where are you guys at with it?
I know, I feel like the whole world's getting excited for Kingdom Hearts 3, and I'm just sitting here like, but Resident Evil 2 is coming out.
Zombies and slow walking.
Yes, absolutely.
And so, terror. And sheer terror.
I mean, you're not wrong. Like, it does seem to, you know, to that Capcom is living up to the reputation that Resident Evil has.
Still has the weird, like, camera angles when you're running around and
no,
stuff,
no,
too.
No. Now it's the third person. It's the Resident Evil 7.
Okay.
Yeah, 4 and 7 style.
Well, 7 was first person.
Or, yeah, no, you're right. It's the Resident Evil 4 style, yeah.
Gotcha.
Man, I'm so glad that the camera angles are done away with. Don't get me wrong. I understand why they were used in the original Resident Evil, but no one wants that anymore.
No.
Like, if they came back and they were still doing that, like, in this room, you have a view right out of the corner, but you have to turn the stick the other direction than you were just holding.
I mean, that's the thing, though. I think Resident Evil 2 was even made before the DualShock controller was a thing. So, like, you only had the D-pad and the face buttons. That's it. You didn't have a second analog stick to be able to control the camera with. I remember how critical that was when it was first introduced.
Yeah.
And you know, if you had games that didn't support it, you had to click the analog button off. Yeah. And that's, you know, like,
settle it, down, old man.
Okay, thanks for reminding me. Appreciate it. But you know, that was like one of the big things that when PlayStation 1 and then PlayStation 2 games started supporting the free camera, mm-hmm. the free rotating camera, that was really the thing that was able to facilitate that.
I'm through the demo now. I don't really like reviews of games. I don't care for them. I think they're largely pointless. But at the same time, when you start looking at like collections of reviews and everywhere is giving a game 9.5 out of 10, 4.5 out of 5, you do feel kind of good about it. And this game is getting just stellar reviews leading up to release.
I'm streaming it.
Do you think that Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to get the same echelon of reviews?
I guarantee you it won't.
On certain sites, yes.
I saw a video on Kotaku that says we should not review Kingdom Hearts because it's unreviewable given the game's like history. And I'm like, that's too bad. They put themselves in that position.
You know what's fun about that review?
That's ridiculous.
He had to update it saying, okay, so my boss told me I have to review it, so I'm sorry.
Good.
Yeah, that's someone trying to get out of reviewing a game.
Because it's trash.
Absolutely.
Well, not just because it's trash, because the story's in... damn comprehensible.
Yeah.
It's always been incomprehensible.
It's actually, I think you would get a lot out of going into Kingdom Hearts 3 blind, having never played any of the other ones.
Oh,
I really feel like you would.
No, I refuse.
There's a merry-go-round attack, Joe.
Like, you fight a merry-go-round?
No.
Oh. You jump on one and
you
then
jump
you use
on
it to
a merry-go-round.
Hurt somebody. You know what? It better just be the finale to Punisher, where you're smashing someone's face into the mirror over and over again.
No, just happy fun times. Merry-go-round. Mm. It's ridiculous.
Throw more Disney, colorful Disney characters on it and call it a day. All right, listen, we got to leave it right there. We want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Ahead next with another eSport looking at instituting picks and bans. We need to discuss why things work in some games, but not others. That discussion is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, eSports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, eSports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for eSports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening out in Colorado on ESPN Denver 1600, 104.3 The Fan, as well as Extra Sports 1300 in Colorado Springs. Make sure you're following us on our freshly partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. We've got tons of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one, but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes, and there's only one place to get them. That's over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. The Overwatch community has been flooded with calls for a pick and ban system in the same vein as MOBAs to counter the popular GOATS composition. A tournament hosted by one of the Dallas Fuel coaches, Jane, experimented with bans, but now we hear that there were some other esports thinking about picks and bans as well.
Yeah, let's start with this Overwatch tournament that happened. So basically, they were allowed one kind of protect and one ban.
Mm-hmm. And that's really...
It's like a mini picks and bans. Right.
Like
it's not a full... It's not wiping out a whole, you know, half a potential party or nothing.
Right.
Like
because the champion pool is not that deep.
Exactly. So, yeah, both teams were allowed to first protect one hero from being banned, and then both...
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Wrong vernacular.
Same difference.
That's fair.
But
I was going to get an email about it. You know that.
this was the great, you know what I'm saying, panacea that was supposed to solve all of Overwatch's meta problems, right?
There did seem to be a lot of conversation like this is going to fix everything.
Answer. Yeah. This was the answer. And when you watch that tournament, do you know what happened?
I saw a lot of goats.
Didn't seem to fix the problem.
Because what people did is they just picked the counters for goats and blocked them out of the match.
They wanted to make goats more effective.
Well, and even if you did actually, if they had picked someone to try to counteract goats, they just ended up going with a less optimal goat. The thing that I think we as viewers don't realize is that if something's the most effective in the game, you as a pro wanting to perform at your best are going to want to use the most effective thing there is.
Yeah, and even when you didn't see those players picked for goats, you had, scuffed or scrubbed goats.
Scrubbed
goats. Where it literally was just one hero missing, but... you know, the vast majority of the mechanics are still the same, so you still saw a lot of that.
Well, not to mention we also saw the pirate ship.
We saw a lot of old, weird meta come back, which was cool, but then you realized that sucks when you don't have the counter for it.
Right.
It sucks bad. It's not fun.
So, and that's the hard truth of it, because when you take a game like League of Legends, like, when something is popular in the meta... it's not what gets banned out, usually. Things that are broken get banned out. If a champion is literally like, I can't let the other team have it, they're going to get to pick first, and if they pick that champion, we're at a disadvantage.
So
that gets banned out.
So if this was supposed to be the thing that fixed the boring goats meta, and it didn't do that, then what's the point? Is there an answer to be able to fix this problem, or can the only answer come from Blizzard in the form of development and balance?
At this point, that's what it looks like. It looks like there's either going to be another hero that comes out to address this, which would be a terrible idea, because that's what they did with Brigitte. Now, some heroes probably need to be looked at again if they want to shake up the meta.
Well, the current PTR had a nerf to armor, which is what the pros are going to be playing on, and we'll know for sure after the first few weeks once they really get their hands on it if something changes.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on 97.5 FM and 1280 AM, The Zone in Salt Lake City, as well as ESPN Kenai 1140 in Alaska. We're currently talking about the tournament that went down this past weekend that was experimenting with picks and bans for OWL, and there's another league that's looking to experiment with it as well.
And this is egregious. This is Street Fighter.
Stop it.
A new 3v3 league that is going to be experimenting with bans. Listen, in the MOBA scene, I totally understand picks and bans. Honestly, if I look at Overwatch, I actually get it there too. I have no patience for that existing in a fighting game.
Well, this just in, the UFC is also going to start banning certain styles of fighting.
This is, because the Muay Thai meta Oh my God. But the thing is that this is the worst idea for the FGC possible. What people don't understand, the very nature of MOBAs and games like Overwatch is very ephemeral, right? It's very fly by night. You work on certain champions, a new champion comes out or the meta changes, and you're working on another champion. In fighting games, there are people who have been playing Cammy or Ryu or Guile for years.
Right.
You've put years into developing your ability to play one character.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, the mechanics change over the games, but that's your initial way in, because Guile and Ryu are always going to play like Guile and Ryu.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, though, but haven't certain fighting games always had a uniform ban list?
Yes.
Right? Like, there are certain characters that are, like, God-tier characters.
Yes, Sagat in Super Turbo. Like,
right.
Sagat
and you
in
just,
Super Turbo.
You, there is no tournament that will allow anyone
to
especially, pick Sagat.
Especially the small tournaments, the mom-and-pop tournaments. Yeah, you saw a lot of that where certain characters were banned.
And that's not what we're talking about here. No. We're talking about a phase where two competitors are going up against one another, and in the character selection phase, they get to either pick a character that's safe or yep. ban the other player from picking them. And I would think in this scenario, as was the case in the OWL tournament, that if a player gets banned for one side, it gets banned for both sides.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I mean, this would be akin to like me knowing I'm about to play Norris and be like, well, I'm banning Vega because yeah. I don't want him to have his best character.
What was the reasoning behind this change?
No one knows. That's the point.
Like,
no
I feel like they heard the Overwatch community be like, picks and bans is more interesting,
here,
and they're like, let's make it more interesting.
But here's a part of the problem is that for as much as people think Capcom Cup is well run and people watch it, Capcom and Street Fighter V is not the hottest thing in the FGC anymore. That's Dragon Ball.
That's
and
true.
And especially with Mortal Kombat about to come out later this year, they're going to have even more competition.
And Dead or Alive 6. Oh.
I guess.
Shut up, Joe.
But, you know, with those two games in particular looking to come out and have a Season 2 respectively, like, Street Fighter V is going to have a real hard time saying we should have a top spot in EVO.
Well, listen, I get why someone would look at picks and bans. When you see it in League of Legends or really any MOBA, the pick and ban phase is a chess match that takes place before the game starts, and it's fascinating.
It's strategic, and it does play into the way that match will play out.
Absolutely, and it's really interesting to watch, and I understand why esports would want to try to copy that, but
sure.
It's just like what we saw with NBA 2K League trying to do a draft. Just because it works in traditional sports doesn't mean it's necessarily going to translate into your esport. And the same thing has to be true among different esports.
Right, but isn't also the reverse true, that experimenting with these things really doesn't hurt anything, and you could end up stumbling across something that's really genuinely interesting.
That Overwatch tournament, I'm so happy that it at least happened and experimented with picks and bans. I'm glad that there is a space for that sort of thing to happen. But you know what? If you want to have picks and bans,
now you can point to it and go, shut up, you don't know what you're talking about.
If you want to have picks and bans in Overwatch, have it be for the stages.
All right, listen, we got to leave it right there, but we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as videos, podcasts, and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. And of course, my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and over at the Checkpoint News Desk, Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.